Today. Glory to God. You may not know it this morning, but you gotta, if you're a Christian, if you know Christ as your Savior, your sins have been forgiven, you got a lot to praise God for, regardless of the immediate circumstances of your life today. I want to talk to you a few minutes before communion on a subject, saved from wrath and sealed for heaven. I want you to say that with me today, if you will. Saved from wrath, sealed from heaven. Sealed for heaven, saved from wrath, and sealed for heaven. Praise God. It's the greatest blessing, the greatest riches. We're talking on the radio broadcast about true riches. This is our second installment this week, and we're grateful to identify what true riches really are to people, because there's a lot of discussion, a lot of delusion about that today, to be honest. A lot of people that see the scripture with a worldview blended, and they don't understand the kingdom of God, and they don't understand it. I'm taken back that so many people that read the Bible and preach the Bible don't understand what the Bible is saying, because they see it in the wrong light. That's why Jesus said to a church that was totally materialistic and thought that they were under the blessing of God because of their material blessings alone, the church of Laodicea, he said, "Anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you can see." They were blind to the truth of their circumstance. They didn't understand true riches, and that's a whole other message today. I made a statement. I want to make it again very clearly, and I want to try to kind of begin to adjust these services to some teaching like we do on the radio. I think that's the most downloaded, the most appreciated part of our ministry. Brother Taylor commented on over Christmas when we taught about the first gifts of Christmas on the radio broadcast, because he began to get a grasp and an understanding of some of the things that we don't look maybe deep enough into sometimes. So we're going to try to do a little bit of teaching about that. But let me begin by making a very clear statement today. No one in this room can truly appreciate the grace of God and salvation until you understand the wrath of God and the judgment that is surely coming. How can you appreciate grace in being saved if you don't understand where you would be and where you would spend eternity and what would await you if Christ had not come, if he had not died on the cross, and when he called you, if you had not responded to that call? There's another title to this message. This message has been preached in different ways, and I titled them both. One of them is Standing Unafraid in the Finished Work of Jesus Christ. How about saying that? I'm going to try to blend two sermons today. Amen. Standing unafraid in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You might want to read Revelation 12, where it said, "Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him because of the finished work of Jesus Christ at the cross." And you can't overcome his accusations by declaring to God that you are completely sinless. 1 John is very clear. It said, if we as Christians say we have no sin at all, that we have earned heaven because we got it perfect, you're a liar and not the truth. You're lying to yourself. You're trying to lie to God. You can't lie to God. The Bible said if our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. But if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence toward God. And what Satan as the accuser wants to do is eat away and tear down your and my confidence toward God. Amen. He's the accuser of the brethren. One of the names for him is Devil. Anybody ever heard that? Someone was so sanctified they wouldn't even eat devil's food cake. Only angel food cake. Devil. Diablos is the Greek word. And you know what it means? It doesn't mean this horned guy with the pitchfork that's just evil and wicked and wanting to, you know. You know what it means? It means a maligner. It means someone that tears down. He accused them. What was he doing way back in the book of Job? There was an angel unauthorized. There's a corridor. Jacob saw it. We used to sing Climbing Jacob's Ladder. Amen. They called it a ladder because they didn't know how to, Jacob didn't know how to describe this corridor between heaven and earth where angels were ascending and angels were descending. I want you to know God is not sitting aloof in his heaven. He is involved with you and me and people right here on this planet. Amen. Angels are involved. They are ascending. They are descending. There have been things happen in my life that I would put to the credit of angelic deliverance. I have been in sick rooms where my wife and I, someone is passing from this life into heaven, and we felt the presence of the angels. When I first got saved, I didn't mean that their wings brushed me or something. I'm talking about a spiritual presence that is so absolute. More, listen, I'm in a room with you guys. When they show up, they're more real than you are. Amen. I'm serious about that. How will I know? You'll know. And by the way, angels, we're getting near February, Valentine's Day. You're going to see a lot of cards. They're not fat babies with wings. Can you say amen? Everybody that saw an angel shook them to their core. But the Bible said the angels are ministers. Their only involvement in this earth is in behalf of those that are sanctified, set apart unto God. And every Christian is set apart unto God. I think the Catholic Church right now is trying to canonize someone to make them a saint. You have to verify a miracle. Here's the good news in the New Testament. Saints are not people to whom miracles are attributed or who have lived such a pristine life, but everyone who is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ is called a saint. Not because of a miracle or a pristine life, but because of the finished work of Jesus at the cross. Can you say amen? So we're called saints. I said it at Ditter's funeral. I said, my part of it, the end part of it was Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Can you say amen? The ones that he has sanctified and set apart unto himself. And I said of Ditter, what is going to be said of me and said of you. Someone in that audience knew that Ditter was not perfect. Elizabeth Baldry was not perfect. Someone is going to realize in this audience that you're not perfect either. And what we need to focus on right now is the perfection of the sacrifice that was offered in our behalf and how God sees you and accepts you as a result of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is not license to sin. Someone said God can't see through the blood, and I say baloney. You can't use the blood to cover up for your sin as if God don't know what I'm doing because he can't see through the blood. Oh, honey, no, the blood was not shed to cover your sin. It was shed so that your sin could be forgiven. The Bible said if we have no sin, we're lying to God, to ourselves, and we do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad today to know what God does with your sin when you confess it, whether it's 20 years ago or 20 minutes ago? If you are convicted and you truly repent and you go before God and confess it, what happens to your sin? As it is written, saith God. I'm glad God says this because there's all kind of church perspectives on this. Amen. We're not going to answer to some church conclave. We're going to answer to God. You're not going to answer to me and I'm not going to answer to you, but we're all going to answer to God. Amen. As it is written, saith who? Saith the Lord, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west. Why east and west? Because there's a north and south pole. And if you go north, you'll end up somewhere. If you go south, you'll end up somewhere. But when you go east and west, it's perpetual. Can you say amen? I will cast them away from them. In other words, does God just erase it from his mind? No, it's there. He knows it's there. But he will no longer associate you with that sin once it's confessed. Amen? Amen. Now people, there's people that'll dig it up. The devil is what? Diablos, the maligner. He wants to undermine. He wants to criticize. He wants to tear down. He wants to tear up. Make sure you never lend your tongue to him. Because he'll use it to cut, to criticize, to tear down, to try to disqualify us from the grace that the blood of Jesus has brought to us and bought for us. I came up in a very strict Pentecostal situation, and I'm still Pentecostal from my head to the tip of my toes and all in between. But there were some things we got wrong. Amen. And some of the things we got wrong was, and one of the things that we got wrong was, we preached a holiness that was based strictly on our works and not his grace, not his love, but strictly on how we wore our hair, how we wore, you know, they at least we matched. We had long hair. I didn't wear a dress, but you know, if I was a lady, she would have long hair, long sleeves, long dress, and a long face. But you know why the long face? You ever see the Puritans? The Puritans were very pure, and I commend them for their convictions and their purity. That's why they called them Puritans. But I've never seen a picture of a happy Puritan. How can you be happy if you think my works are going to be weighed? And the way the balance tips is where I'm going to spend eternity. You've got to have some more assurance than just that you're going to meet the grade. You're not going to meet it. I'm going to tell you right now. But on the other hand, let's balance it. Let, as a Christian, not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. You have power to say no now that you never had before you came to Jesus Christ. But you got to use that power to say no. Amen. 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 Listen to me carefully. This has to be balanced. But when you get an imbalance, you get a liberalism that allows you to sin without consequence. Or you get a legalism that says you got to be sinlessly perfect to be accepted by God. And it disqualifies the grace of God. You don't know. We didn't know. We were told, you, nobody knows where they're going to spend eternity till they die. And all these works are weighed one against another. That's not the gospel. That's not the scripture. That is not what Jesus' blood was shed to accomplish. Listen to me carefully today. This is so important to get it right and to rightfully divide the Word of God. You know, you can take a doctrine, accept it, and find scripture to support it, but you have to wrongfully divide the Word to do it. Your opinion doesn't mean anything in light of the truth of the Word of God. You say, Brother Brimble, I believe this. Well, you can believe anything you want to believe. Don't make it true because you believe it. Here's something we need to get right. God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. It's settled. So when we say, and I've said it, but I quit saying it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, it's not your believing it that settles it. God said it. That settles it. Can you say that with me? God said it. That settles it. And I choose to believe it. Can you say amen? And when I believe it, I can receive it, whatever it is. Listen to me carefully. I preached a message years ago when I began to see it more clearly in the Word. Standing in your standing. Standing in your standing. Standing in your standing. And there was a little lady in our service, and she was a grandma, you know, a real grandma. Grandmas now don't look as much like grandmas as grandmas used to look. My wife is a great grandmother, but she doesn't look, I mean, she is a great grandmother, but You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's grandmas in here, but you don't look very grandma. Linda, you don't look like a grandma like grandmas used to look. Oh, and you don't intend to, she said, and I don't intend to. I'm not ready to sit in my rocking chair and knit just yet. Amen. But this was, you know, you remember little Pentecostal grandma.
Little old,
yeah.
Very fiery.
And yes, and very fiery and dignified and holy. But she had never heard a message about where she stood because of the finished work of Jesus and got it in her heart. She'd heard a lot of the don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that to please God, but she hadn't heard a lot about the do's. Amen. And the Bible said if we do two things, it will fulfill all the law and all of the prophets. You get these two down, you don't have to worry about the rest of them. If a man love me, what happens? He'll keep my commandments. And they won't be grievous unto him. And it won't be because he's looking at all 10 of them and trying to figure out if he's hitting all of them. It's because when you keep the second commandment, loving your neighbor as yourself, you don't have to have a commandment that tells you not to kill him. Amen. If you love your neighbor, you don't have to have God say, don't kill him. Well, why would I want to kill him? I love him. And there is a love that covers, the Bible said, a multitude of sins. Don't covet his wife. You don't covet your, you don't, if you love your neighbor, you don't covet his wife. You don't covet his stuff. You rejoice in his blessings instead of getting jealous of him. Amen. You got to watch that green-eyed monster called jealousy. I could get jealous of other people's success. Listen, if our church suddenly exploded and expanded, make no mistake about it, someone would be jealous of it. If God's blessing is on you, what happened to Joseph? He was favored by God. He had brothers. And his daddy favored him and God favored him. And his daddy made him a coat of many colors or had it made for him. And he's sporting his coat. He's the youngest of the boys, but he got the blessing. Oh, he's sporting around. He's not prideful. He's just got the blessing. You can't help it. You're blessed. Hey, man, I'm blessed. I can't help it. I'm sorry. I'm blessed. I'm not going to come down here and poor mouth and mully grub. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Deal with it. One time I said at work, I said the only way not to be criticized is say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. Guy standing beside me said, then they'll criticize you for saying nothing, being nothing, and doing nothing. You're going to get it. And there's somebody behind it all, the accuser of our brethren.
Amen,
that accused them before God how often?
Amen.
Every day and every night. And you can't overcome his accusations by presenting yourself faultless. Let me tell you what God has done and what he's doing right now. God loved the church. Christ loved the church. Gave himself for it. That he might present it unto himself. Without spot. Or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. But that she should be holy. Can you say amen? Let's define holy. Two words in the Bible that are akin to one another. Holy means set apart, cleansed and set apart unto God. Sanctification, similar, cleansed and set apart unto God for a holy purpose. Can you say amen? Holy is not just how you wear your hair, but what's happening in your heart that sets you apart. Man looks where? On the outward appearance. Where's God look? He looks on the heart. This little lady had just heard the legalistic message all her life, uncertain even of where, and she was a godly woman. But she had never been given the assurance that heaven would be her home. Have you ever heard somebody say, if anybody's going to heaven, she is or he is? And you're basing that on what? You're basing it on looks. You're basing it on their works. They were good, precious, wonderful, giving people. But the Bible said without the shedding of one element, without the shedding, without the shedding, without the shedding, without the shedding. If you could get there another way, he didn't have to go to the cross, and he prayed for that. If there's another way, let the cup pass from me. Can you say amen? There is no other way to God. There is no other way to heaven. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. She heard a message on standing in your standing. I didn't hear that message for years. She came down after the service with tears in her eyes. She said, this is the first time in my whole walk. And this is a godly lady. First time in my life that I could say with absolute assurance, when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I thought, mission accomplished. I'm so glad that you finally got it. That you understand what Jesus did at the cross. And not how people see you, but how God sees you because of what he did at the cross. Can you say amen? If we confessed our sin, he is faithful because of the blood of Jesus. And he is just. God is just. God is just. How can he be holy and look over your sin? He can't, so he doesn't look over your sin. He judges your sin in his son at Calvary. It's called the great exchange. See, you don't just get forgiven. You don't just get forgiven. He took your garments stained by sin, and God gave you his sinless garments. Called a robe of righteousness. It is the wedding garment required for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Can you say amen? And you can't weave it yourself. You'll either be presented to God holy enough to enter into that city, or you're going to try to present yourself to God in that manner. And if you do, you're filled with pride and self-righteousness today. And the self-righteous, Jesus had harsh words for, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribe and the Pharisee, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. They tithed of everything that they possessed. So that would kill a lot of us, right? Everything. A lot of people tithe the $50 that they got for Christmas, but not the $50,000 they got for their property. Who is that under there? Come out from under there. Amen? 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 It's easier to tithe $50. It only costs $5. It costs you $5,000 to tithe the $50,000. Now you're getting into deep water. Hey, give me $50,000. I'll be happy to tithe it. Is that with you? Praise God. You ought to be happy. Someone said it's income tax time. Thank God you got an income. There's a lot of people wish they had an income to tax. So let's give God praise and give thanks. Hallelujah. We were afraid in Pentecost that if we preached the grace of God as it is in Scripture, people would just run out and try to use it as an excuse for sin. We were wrong. If you really understand grace, you really understand what Jesus has done for you, it doesn't make you want to sin. It makes you want to live for him. Because if you start loving him for what he's given you in that gift, praise God. If a man love me, what happens? He'll keep my commandments. And they won't be grievous unto him. It won't make him have that long face. Can you say amen? It won't put him in a box. It'll set him free to serve God. Not free to sin, but free to serve. Amen? And there's a freedom and there's a liberty. And the Bible said, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be no more entangled in the yoke of bondage. When Jesus came on the scene, there was a yoke of bondage that the religious system, by the way, it was the right religion, but they had lost contact with God himself. And when Jesus came, he found an oppressive religious system. And that is the context for what he said when he said, "Come unto me, you that labor and are heavy laden."
Yes, sir.
It's oppressive. It's pressing you down. You're always seeking but never finding. You're never, ever feeling satisfied or sanctified or that God is satisfied with you. It was guilt, guilt, layered upon guilt. "Come unto me," he said. "You that what? Labor and are heavy laden." For those of you that have a Catholic background, I went to a gym where Stan Morey, it was a Naturite gym, a lot of professional power lifters, professional bodybuilders, professional wrestlers. Before Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan, he was Terry Bollea. He went to King High School, played a bass guitar in a local band here in Tampa, and worked out with your pastor. That's why he got so big. That's not true. I retract that. God forgive me. And you know better. He would come in. I didn't want to stand near him. 6'6", 300 pounds. Back then he was doing the juice. And I'm not talking about orange juice. I'm talking about the steroids that make you get animalistic big. I went to that gym and I was known as Preacher Bob. At work for 12 years when I was bivocational, I was known as the Rev. But they called me Preacher Bob in that gym. Stan came to me one day and he said, "Preacher Bob, I'm going to church Sunday. And there's a church near where the gym was in Temple Terrace." And I told him, "I'm so glad that you're going to church." It was near Christmas. He said, I want my family to know. He said, I came up in a Catholic home and my grandmother was one of the sweetest, most wonderful women. They lived up north. She was a committed Catholic. But she had something happened that she felt that she had to do penance for. And there were steps up to a cathedral. And he said, and he got tears in his eyes, heartbroken. He said, "I saw my grandmother on her knees, climbing those steps in the wintertime, on her knees, step by step, trying to appease for some perceived sin. And it hurt him that, and I don't know who counseled her or she got it wrong, but that any religious system would require something like that out of someone so wonderful to try to deal with sin. It's not just, see, any religious system can become oppressive. There's oppressive branches of Protestantism. Amen? They'll put you under the law if you let them. Because they think that they can keep it. And they are keeping it perfect. In essence, they're saying, "I have no sin." And God says, "That's a lie." Pants would be on fire all over the building. Can you say amen? 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 So Jesus said to people under that system, "Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden." That's not just everybody in the world. It's in the context of that oppressive religious system. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. I want you to obey God. I want you to do the right thing. But my yoke is easy. Because if you're doing it because you love him, it's not a job, it's a joy to serve Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Oh, you didn't hear me. I said if you're doing it because you love him. When I fell in love with my wife, she lived how many miles? 10 miles from me. My bus went one way. Her bus went another way. Guess whose bus I took home after school? I didn't take my bus home. I took her bus home. Her daddy did not get home from work till 4 o'clock. Sugar in the morning, sugar in the evening, sugar at supper time. Be my little sugar. You don't know about that kind of sugar. You're thinking granulated. What are you talking about, sugar? And guess what I had to do? I'd eat supper with them. She prepared the supper. I eat supper with them. And then I walk home. I have driven the same route that I used to walk home. And I thought, what was I thinking? Amen. It's a long 10 miles. 10 miles. It takes a long time if you're walking at 3 miles an hour to walk 10 miles. 3 hours is only 9 miles. You've still got a mile to go. But sometime in the middle of the walk, I would hitchhike, except when I was cutting through orange groves. There wasn't no way to hit. Nobody picked me up in the orange grove. But it was always dark when I got home. And I thought nothing of it. I thought nothing of it. I got to spend time with my honey. I'm in love. Oh, I'm in love. Hallelujah. It didn't matter. It didn't matter anymore. Amen. Listen, if I didn't love the woman, do you think I'd walk? I heard that song by those Australian brothers some years ago. I would walk 10,000 miles and I would walk 10,000 more just to be the man that walked 10,000 miles to see you. Amen. Praise God. Anybody in here ever been in love? Oh, we got a few people, and some of you better raise your hands right now. Wave it high. Wave it. Wave it. Are you watching him? You're being watched. You better wave it, John. Somehow she'll know over there in the balcony. She's waving both hands. But God wants you to fall in love with him. Because the day that you fall in love with him for the gift of salvation, for the gift of Christ on the cross, the day that you fall in love with him, it will not be a job to serve him, it will be a joy to serve him. And when David fell in love with God, he said, I will run the way of thy commandments. Can you say amen? And you know what brought him to that place? When he failed and he deserved nothing but judgment, but he cried out and repented and God gave him mercy and God restored his soul, and he said, from here on, I'm not going to see how much sin I can commit and get by with it because of this great forgiveness I've received, even in the old covenant. He said, I'm going to run the way of thy commandments. I'm not going to be tentative. I'm going to serve God. Can you say amen? If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. He'll discover that there is a yoke. There's things that he says don't do, but it's easy when you love him not to do it. My mother married a man, and she'd married several times. She finally got saved, thank the Lord. She married a guy, and he was a member of a particular church. And he went to church every Sunday. But no one, you know, he began to age, and he was lonely. And it was a church that kind of pushed the elder people in the peripheral and didn't pay much attention to people over 60, and he had no fellowship with anyone. And he said, after he and my mom separated, I was in a mall, and I saw a lonely old guy sitting on a bench with his head down. And I went over, and I was just looking at him. I thought, he looks familiar. I thought, that was my mom's ex-husband right there. And I went over and sit down by him. And I said, how you doing? Because I knew he was down. He said, I'm not doing good. He said, I wish your mother and I could have made it together. Said, you know, sometimes I get so lonely. And there he sits. I said, sir, you know Christ is your Savior. And he said, yes, I accepted him and told me back when he did. I said, are you in church somewhere? And he said, I go to church every Sunday. But he said, I'm so lonely. I'm just so empty and lonely. And he said, you know, the other night, I was so lonely, I had to come to Tampa. He lived in Dade City. He said, I'd had to come to Tampa, and I was going home, and it was after dark. And said, I passed a bar. Said, I've never been in a bar since I got saved. But he said, I passed a bar, and it was filled with cars out front. And I pulled in. and just parked with my windows down. And I heard people laughing and I heard music. And I thought, I'm just going to go in. I'm not going to drink, but I just want to go in and maybe sit down and talk with somebody. And so he said, I went in. He said, I walked through the door. And he said, it just hit me. No, this is not your environment. Not anymore. You belong to me. He said, I turned around and I went to my car. But the issue that needs to be addressed, amen, is that we find in the body of Christ and in our relationship with Jesus Christ, a koinonia, a fellowship relationship. If you don't get to know the Lord, not just know His laws, His do's, His don'ts, but to know the Lord, amen, you'll never have that. And you need that. Can you say amen? And I need that today. God has designed us to have fellowship with Him. God has designed us to have relationship with one another as well. I've told the story often, and I'm not a horticulturist or agriculture, but I'm not, what is it when you're into trees? Not a tree hugger. These are people trying to protect trees, but there's a name for it.
Arborist.
And the redwood trees in California, some of the biggest trees in North America. There's always that postcard, a picture of one hollowed out in a car driving through the hollowed out place, but the old tree is still standing. They're hundreds of years old. They have weathered thousands of years old. Thousands of, think about that. Trees that have weathered every winter, every drought, every windstorm. But that many years, how are they still standing? Why are they still? They must have a deep root system. Amen. Not true. It's not deep. You know why they stand? Because they stand in groves. They stand in groves. And every tree's roots are interlocked with the tree beside it, in front of it, and behind it. Hello? Hello? The Church of Jesus Christ is designed to be like that redwood forest. We weather everything because God designed us. Amen. You bring something that I need, and I bring something that you need. Can you say amen? And every part, according to the Scripture, supplies what the other part needs. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when we come to that place where we're supplying something, you're sowing something into me, I'm sowing something into you, and then we're sowing something into one another, and we're rooted in Jesus Christ and build up in Him, our roots are interlocking. Can you say amen? Nobody is standing alone anymore. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has designed us to have fellowship with Him. The just has suffered for the unjust just to keep us out of hell and give us heaven? No, it's greater than that. Can anything be greater than that? Absolutely. The just has suffered for the unjust. And this is what keeps us out of hell. And this is what gives us a place in heaven. The just has suffered for the unjust that He might bring us to God. Reconcile us to God. What happens when you're reconciled with anybody? What happens when you're reconciled? You've been angry, you've been mad, and now you're reconciled. And it's returned. It's returned. It's returned. We got to work with the professor. It's returned. See, we're on him. We're going to be on him like ticks on a dog. Can you say amen? He's embarrassed. This is a holy thing. I know it's crazy. Amen. A guy called me I went to school with. He called me at 10 o'clock. I was getting ready to leave to go to church, running late. He called me at 10 o'clock from University Community Hospital. I hadn't heard from him since we got out of school back in 1965. He called me on the phone, and he said, is this Bobby? I said, yes, it is. He said, are you still preaching? I said, because he'd heard I'd become a preacher. I said, yes, I am. I'm a pastor and getting ready to go to church right now. He said, but I'm getting ready to go into surgery right now. He said, could you share a prayer with me? And I said, sure, I'd be glad to. And he was kind of a crazy guy, you know. And he's crazy after all these years. He was the epitome of that song. He said, they told me that I had a 50-50 chance. And he said, you know, that's not very good odds. I said, no, that's not. 50-50 is not, you know, where you're going to be here when you wake up here, wake up wherever you're headed. It's not good odds. You need some more assurance than that 50-50. The fact is, you need assurance. If they give you 90-10, you still need assurance. And he said, well, I saw you this morning. Very rarely. We were on television about 3 times on a free thing that you get in line with other churches back in the day. He said, well, this morning they come in to prep me for surgery. And he said, I woke up early this morning. And I'm waiting to go to surgery now. But they came in to get me ready. And he said, I had the TV on. And he said, you were on TV. And he said, and then he got very serious. He said, I thought it might be an omen. He said, I thought this might be the biggie. You know, the big sleep, the big jump into. And he said, he was convicted is what it was. And he was afraid of going into eternity and not knowing that his soul was ready to stand before the Lord. And he was ready to pray the sinner's prayer. I haven't seen him since I led him in the sinner's prayer. But listen, it would not surprise me if he was sincere when I get to heaven. That a man will come running down that golden street and hug me with both arms. I'm just kidding. We like to pick on Mike. I don't know why. I'll tell you exactly why. He's smarter than we are. That's why we pick on him. We all know it. Amen. He's an accomplished professional, and he's got the pressure on him to prove it. Can you say amen? And we love him and pray for him daily. And without helping one another, if we isolate ourselves from one another, we don't have that interlocking. And if we isolate ourselves from God's presence, we don't have that interlocking. And if we're under an oppressive religious system instead of the glorious liberty of the Son, not liberty to sin, but liberty to serve God and love God and doing it out of reciprocal love, not out of the dread of punishment. I fear the Lord. Can I define fear of the Lord real quick before we close? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is not the dread of God for a Christian. If you're not a Christian, there's a legitimate reason to fear God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, to stand before God in your sin and rebellion, rejecting His Son and His blood. It's a fearful thing. To fall into the hands for nothing but judgment because He can't give you mercy. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, how awful it's going to be for the lost on that day. We persuade men. He said, I'm motivated by understanding, appreciating the terrible condition of the lost to try to bring men to Christ at all cost. But if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the just suffered for the unjust to do what? Just forgive your sin to bring you to God. We've been reconciled unto God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And the Bible said in Ephesians, He accepts us in the beloved. And the greatest thing, and don't even get me started, don't amen this. Try to suppress them because it'll take much longer if you amen. Can you suppress the amen just for a little while? You can if you want to amen, but the real Lord's Prayer is in John 17. The Lord's Prayer, commonly called, is His answer to them when they said, teach us to pray. It's His pattern for man to pray. But His prayer, I think it's the 17th. If it's not, it's in the neighborhood. He said, this is what I pray, not only for these, but all those that shall believe because of them. That means us today. Father, you know how you're in me and I'm in you. That's a pretty close relationship, isn't it? He said, I pray that they be in us like I'm in you and you're in me. So Paul said, before Jesus even prayed that, or after he prayed that, Paul said, we are bone of his bone, spiritually. We've been baptized into more than a church organization. The Bible said when you get saved, you're not baptized by a priest, a pastor, a parson. You're baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body. And it's not an organization. Into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And the Bible said we are His members in particular. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. You know how you're in me and I'm in you and I and my Father are one because of that intimacy. I pray that they be in us like I'm in you and you're in me. You've been baptized into Christ. Christ has come to live within you. God the Father has come to live within you. Here's a news flash. If the two holiest persons that and the Holy Spirit has come to live within you as well. If the three holiest persons of the Godhead, after you receive Christ, can come and live in you. And the Bible said we will make our abode. You know what that means? Abode is not where you visit. It's not a Motel 6 where you check in and check out and get back on the road. Abode is where you abide. That's why they call it an abode. It's where you live. The three holiest persons of heaven that make up the triune God. If He can feel at home living in you because of what the blood of Christ has done in living in me. And by the way, heaven is not holy because its streets are pure gold. Walls of jasper, the precious stones, it's holy because God lives there. But God also lives in His people. Amen. And if God can live in you, you can live in heaven. What would keep you out of heaven? It's not the city. It's who's in the city. Gold don't make it holy. God makes it holy. You're going to have to use every bit of faith you got to get a hold of this. But it's the Word of God, and I want you to get it today. We were under the yoke of bondage for years. We couldn't look right. We couldn't pray right. We couldn't do anything right. Everything was wrong. Amen. Everything was sin. Somehow or another, everything was sin. And it was the job of everybody around us to point it out. Amen? And they're still like that today. Be no more entangled in the yoke of bondage. Take my yoke. Learn of me. There's still a yoke. There's still do's and don'ts. But my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. So come to me. Come out of that religiosity and come to me. I'll show you how much God loves you. I'll show you the plan God has for you. I'll show you what you can have when you receive me as the bread that came down out of heaven and the living water. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free and be no more entangled in the yoke of bondage. You want me to define it one step further today? Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you would believe another gospel, amen, which is not another, but some have perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe, having begun in the Spirit, that you can be perfected after the flesh? Do you believe law and grace will somehow got to be put together? It's oil and water. As hard as I am against liberalism, I'm just as hard against legalism. Can you say amen? Because it's pushing people away from the kingdom instead of drawing them to the kingdom of God. If you receive Christ as your Savior, He doesn't wait to see. He accepts you in His Son. And we're made partakers of Christ if we keep the beginning of our confidence. Confidence in His accomplished work at the cross. Steadfast all the way to the end. When I draw my last breath, I am fully confident of where I'm going to... How do you know, Brother Venable? Because I know what the Bible says about what He did for me at the cross. The accuser can't stand in His court. The accuser cannot stand in His court. The accuser cannot stand in His court. Can you say amen? Now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You confess me before men. Because of that shed blood, I'll confess you before my Father and His angels. Hold fast. Stand fast in the liberty and hold fast your profession of faith without wavering, because He's faithful that promised. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you understanding the labor heavy laden that it was religious system, oppressive religious system without God or His love? And they didn't even recognize Jesus. And He said, if you knew my Father like you claim to, you would have known me immediately, because I came out from Him. But you've lost sight of God, and all you can see is your religiosity. And you need repentance, and you need salvation. And that was the hardcore religious group. And they are the ones. Pilate said, what did Pilate say about Jesus? I don't find no fault in Him at all. I don't know why you want Him dead. And they said, they put the pressure politically on Pilate. It doesn't absolve Him from what He did, but you can understand the political pressure on Him. He says He's a king. Wait till Caesar hears about that. Wait till Rome hears about that. And he capitulated. And he tried to avoid it by having Him beat beyond anything anyone can imagine. And brought Him forth bloodied. Scripture said prophetic of what would happen. His visage was marred more than any man's. They wondered how He could stand on His feet. How He could still be alive after the scourging and the beating that He went through. And He said, behold the man. And the chief priest, leading and inciting the crowd, said, crucify Him. It's traditional to turn one man loose. And said, here's Jesus, here's Barabbas, a convicted thief and murderer. Because thieves killed their... So there's no witnesses. They robbed you. They killed you. Just like they do in the 7-Elevens. More dangerous than police officers. Give us Barabbas. Crucify Him. And then they said something else that has plagued them from that day to this day, until there's a national repentance and acceptance of Christ in Israel. Responsibility. We just want you to kill Him. Carry out the death sentence. That's the religious system that wanted Him and pressured Pilate to put Him on the cross. And that's why Jesus said, come to me. Come out of that and come to me. Hallelujah. Come out from under that burden. No love from God or for God or for people. Come out from under that oppressive religious system and come to me. You still have do's and don'ts. My yoke is easy though, because you'll fall in love with me because of my great love for you. And my yoke will become easy. Walking home from Pamela's house. Oh, you don't know. I don't know if any of you have ever been in love. I questioned that. Amen. Love will make you goofy. You do goofy things. Amen. But it's all because you love so much. Hallelujah. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who are you? But he has. He's done it. And he said, God's requirement has been met. Sin's debt for those that receive me have been paid in full. It is accomplished. There are those of you here today that have had failures in your life. Sin is always going to be sin. It's always going to be wrong, and it's always going to hurt you. If you really are a Christian, sin brings the chastisement of God. But it's because you're His that the chastisement comes. He chastens every son that He loves. And if you be without chastisement, if you can do wrong with no repercussions, you do not belong to Him. You say, well, they're getting away with it. Of course they are. They're not His. You don't whoop other people's kids. Amen? Man in Walmart some months back decided there's some boy acting up, little baby, whatever, some little kid acting up in Walmart. He couldn't take anymore, and he went over and decided he'd go whoop him. You don't whoop somebody else's baby. Come on, you're a sweet little Christian lady, but you do not whoop your baby in Walmart, do you? You whoop your baby, right? I mean, you don't whoop your baby, you know, when you let them get a little older, but you love them. You're not trying to hurt them. You're trying to teach them. There's a vast difference. If you be without chastisement, if you can do wrong, if you can do wrong and not be convicted, do wrong without chastisement, you're bastards and not sons. You do not belong to Him. You have not got saved. If you're going through a whipping right now, you ought to rejoice. You belong to Him. You belong to Him. Amen. But if you're out there just living in abject sin without being convicted or without chastisement, you've never met Him. He chastens every son He loves, scourges everyone that He receives. And if you be without chastisement and think you're sinlessly perfect, you don't belong to Him. But it's all done because He loves you. That relationship, He wants you to come back into that fellowship. Make no mistake about it, God loves you today. You can't work your way to heaven. So, the owner of the gym, he said to me, he said, going to church Sunday, because he wasn't looking for an oppressive religious system. And I prayed for him. I came back after Christmas and I asked him, did you go to church? He said, yes, I went to church on a Sunday before Christmas and took my family. He said, it was a good service. I really enjoyed it. He said, but Monday, three men from the church were knocking on my door. Then the tears came in his eyes again, because man can really mess up something so beautiful and so wonderful. Monday, there was a knock on my door, and three men were standing there. They wanted me to join the church. They didn't ask him about his soul, his salvation. All they saw when people came in was assets to their budget. He said, before they asked me anything else, and tears began to stream, just like they did when he talked about his grandma. Because he's turned off to religion. And I cannot defend religious systems that are wrong. The only thing I could do is point him to Jesus. Can you say amen? Point him to Jesus. I didn't even suggest he come to our church because he's turned off by religion and church. But look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look to Jesus. Open the Bible and see what Jesus did and see what Jesus said. Don't let religion give you the wrong impression of God or of Jesus Christ. Tears running down his cheeks. He said, they asked me on a Monday for a financial statement from my gym business in order to join their church to make sure that I gave the proper amount. And he saw himself as nothing more than a dollar sign instead of a precious soul for which Christ died. And we all shake. Nobody can defend that. We can't defend either situation. But I said, stand. Open your Bible to the New Testament. Go to the book of John and start reading. You can go all over the Bible from there, but you need to start in the book of John and get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Christmas came and went. I came back to the gym and I said, Stan, how are you doing? He looked up and he said, you know what? He said, I not only read from the book of John, but I read the rest of the Gospels. He said, I sat down in my living room with my family around me, with my Bible open. And he said, I begin to read the Christmas story and the Christian story and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, my family's sitting around me. Praise God. And I knew the seed that had been sown, amen, was good seed, quality seed. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news of what he has done on the cross in our behalf. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I pray one day when I get to heaven, another man is going to come down Glory Avenue, amen, to hug a man that pointed him not to our denomination, amen, to some religious system, but pointed him directly and distinctly to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 One plants, another waters, but God gives the increase. Hallelujah. And if he never comes to our church, if he's part of the church, that's what the gospel is sent to accomplish. Hallelujah. It's time for Holy Communion today. Are you learning something about his yoke and the context and the glorious liberty and standing in your standing? Hallelujah. And rebuking the devil by pleading the blood of Jesus. By the way, the devotion that came because of that blood sacrifice that we're about to commemorate. It said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Three elements. The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and the devotion that shed blood provoked in them. And they loved not their life to the death. Can you say amen? I will serve no other master but him. No other God but this good God that gave his son for me. Hallelujah. 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 That's not emotion. That's devotion. And there's a table of grace where you are welcome and I am welcome. And we're going to celebrate that today as we are served Holy Communion. It's in the refrigerator. The fruit of the vine and the bread is on the table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't know Christ, the altars are open. You can come to know him. If you're away from him, you can come near to him this very day. God is here with us. Are you glad you came to church this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Stand fast. Hold fast. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Who is he that condemneth? Yea, it's Christ that died and is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Who is he that condemneth? It's Jesus Christ that died, yea, is risen from the dead.